Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Rolling right along here on this Thursday morning, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and make sure to mortgage confidently. And we are now joined, it's our honor to be joined in studio by the Admiral David Robinson, one of the all-time great NBA players here on behalf of Verizon. We'll get to that here momentarily. NBA draft tonight. David, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me out here, guys. A nice early morning with y'all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's exactly right. David, let's start here. There's a lot to get into with you. I mean, from the draft for these young guys, you know, 18 now, 19 years of age, they're getting set to begin their professional careers. Yeah. You know, your advice, legendary player, been there, done that, coming out of Navy, was a, you know, unbelievable college player as well. Yeah. Coming into the NBA, what you were able to accomplish, what advice would you have for the young basketball player coming into this league now?
I always love to give advice to people when they don't ask me for it, but if I were to talk to them, I'd just say, look, be patient. I mean, you know, especially now with the guys coming in younger, their expectations are high. Right, and you're going into a league now where, you know, in college you were maybe the best athlete or at least one of the best athletes on the floor, but now you're not. You know, yeah. Every single person on that floor is as big and as strong, as fast as you are.
And so, they're grown men.
Yeah, they're grown men.
They're not kids.
So, you know, it's now the mental challenge becomes the big hurdle for them. And so I would tell them, look, it's a different game. Take your time, man. Get in there. Figure it out. You know, be a professional. Because that's going to be the toughest part of the game now. It's not going to be the physical anymore.
Right.
You can
right.
run up and down all day, but they all can. So now get mentally tough
right.
in how you approach the game and how you prepare day in and day out, and that's going to make the difference for you.
You think sometimes, like we were talking earlier, Moose and I, about how young, we're talking about like Begley and DeAndre, these kids are 19 years old,
yeah.
and they're going to come in now tonight. They're going to go in and almost, in essence, be instant millionaires,
yeah.
and they're
yeah.
not even 21, 20 years old.
Yeah,
no. I mean, and you as a dad, we were told during the break, you know, how do you think, right, from a parental perspective as a former pro athlete yeah. and a great like yourself, how do you keep them grounded, man, with all that yeah. money?
Oh, no, it is tough. I mean, it's a lot being thrown at them at once. You know, I can't say I always handled everything as it possibly would be handled. So, I mean, you know, it's for most of them, though, they realize they're still on the upslope. They still got a lot of work to do. And so I think that's where you just keep them focused because,
yeah.
you know, money and idleness is where you get in trouble, right?
Right.
So,
yes. yeah.
so if you're still working hard and you still understand, man, I got a job, I got expectations, I got to get out there and perform, you know, then I think they can, you know, they can handle it and take it slow.
Yeah.
You know, once you get out there and start saying, man, I'm going to party, I'm going to have a good time, I'm going to, you know, that's when you get into trouble.
Yeah, you let it get to you.
You know, yeah, yeah, David, absolutely. How about the big man in the NBA? You know, the center, right? DeAndre
yeah.
Ayton's going to go number one overall tonight
yeah.
to Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
You've got Marvin Bagley III. You've got Wendell Carter.
Yeah.
You've got Mo Bamba out of Texas. And certainly look at the way Embiid's been able to play down in Philadelphia with the 76ers. But
yeah.
the game has also changed. You
yeah.
know, it's not back to the basket Patrick in New York. York or
right,
Akeem
right.
Olajuwon get the ball down low.
Right.
What about the big man in today's day and age of the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, they're coming into an interesting NBA now where the three-point shot kind of rules. And, you know, you got a lot of guards dominating the ball. So it's a different era. But, like you said, you bring in some talented guys like that, it'll change back. It'll change back in a hurry. Because, you know, if you have a talented guy like Embiid, you're going to build your team around him.
Sure.
You have a guy like Anthony Davis, you're going to build your team around him, or Karl Anthony Towns. So now you're starting to see this new generation of big guys. I was fortunate. I came along with some great ones.
Yeah. You did.
Yeah. And so now you're starting to see these young guys. But the problem is they're so young.
Yeah, they are.
You know, how many years has Anthony Davis been in? And he's getting his, you know, he's
starting to find himself.
He's
starting to stay healthy, too.
Getting his sea legs under him now.
Exactly.
Finally,
and
yeah.
Anthony was like a a freak of nature at his, you know, he was fantastic. And very few guys are at that level.
Right, right.
So, you know, you think some of these guys, you know, a guy like DeAndre Ayton, you know, I don't know if I'd put him in the category of Anthony Davis, but he's still a really good, but he's raw.
Yeah.
You know, he's still
young, he's a kid. He's,
I mean, how many years are we away from him really finding his groove? So you know, it's I do think this young group of bigs will begin to take over. But it's
going to take time.
Away, we're a few
it's
years
take
away
some time.
From
time. Yeah. So Dave, for you, like if you were still playing today, because it's a different NBA, right?
Yeah,
it's a totally different game. Not totally different, but you know, it's different.
It
how do you think you would handle playing in today's game if you could kind of push your career towards this day and age now?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it would be, for me, I love this. I love getting up and down the floor. I like a lot of possessions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, being an athlete, you want to get those possessions. You know, I wasn't a big back-to-the-basket kind of guy. I'm playing against guys who were all, you know, 30, 40 pounds heavier than me. You know, I mean, everyone that I looked at, I came in at 235. You know, my first 8 years of the league, I was 235. So you're playing against, you know, Patrick, what, 265, 270.
Yeah.
You know, there's Mark Eaton's 300.
Yeah,
you know, Shaq's 325.
Monsters,
you know, so for me, my speed and my activity is really what gave me opportunity. So, you know, today's game is about speed and activity.
Being an athlete.
It would work well for me.
You know, David, when you were down in San Antonio, they also, you know, they brought Duncan aboard, right? And your relationship, I think I remember reading a quote where you said, you know, Duncan was probably the best thing that ever happened to you down in San Antonio. What?
Unbelievable.
How difficult, though, when you look at when did you know Duncan was going to develop and was going to be what he eventually became as an NBA player?
Yeah, I mean, you knew right away. I think when maybe his senior year or his junior year or something, I was with the USA team in 96, and we played against a college team in an exhibition game, and Timmy played against me, Shaq, and Akeem, and had like 22-10 and made the game look so easy.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this guy is going to be really good. But you know, we were a good team, and there was no way I thought we would have a shot at getting Tim. And lo and behold, that year I got hurt, and we ended up in the lottery, and we drafted him. I thought, are you kidding me, man? This is going to change our team. This is fantastic. So I knew when I saw him in college, I knew he was one of the most composed and mature big guys that had come out of college in a while. So we all kind of knew he's going to be really good.
How did you, as a established star, knowing Duncan was going to be a great, how did you welcome him in terms of the transition into the NBA?
Well, you know, I tried to make the game as easy for him as possible. You know, I understood that the pressure is what changes you, right? So he came into a good situation where there was no real pressure for him. I mean, he came in, and so, you know, I'm already established there, and if, you know, good or bad, I was going to take the brunt of the pressure. He wasn't really going to have to take it. And so he got a chance to just play his game. I mean, it didn't matter.
That's a big thing right there, because it loosens it up for him, for Duncan.
It's a big deal. If you come out one night and you score 8 points.
Right.
As opposed to the next night, you have 22. You know, you're not going to catch the same kind of heat.
No.
You know, whereas, I got to be consistent. I mean, that was what the expectation was. So I think it made it a little bit easier for him. And he was, but he was great. I mean, not that he needed it much help. I mean, he's just a ridiculous player. But that's why I just tried to bring him in and say, look, let's go work out in the summertime, man. Let's figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to work together. And he's I mean, you guys know him. I mean, he's a great guy.
So you took that initiative to build that chemistry with him, right?
Absolutely. I looked at it as a positive. I think, you know, sometimes guys look at it as competition, and they look at it as they're going to take my, whatever. You know,
my,
if you got a Shaq
or
and a Kobe, or you got guys who are like, hey, this is my team. Like, wait. It's our team, man. Like, I wasn't your team. It's our team.
But, you know, that gets lost, right, with a lot of elite athletes when other guys come in, because it's, it's so ultra-competitive.
Yeah.
And you want to stay on top. It's ego-driven. We know that,
well,
right?
Well, part of what makes you great is your drive, right? Like, you're an alpha dog, right?
Of course.
So, I mean, that was what was unusual about the Dream Team. You know, you bring all those guys together, everybody's, like, peeing on their side of the court. Like, you can't – how do you play basketball when everybody's peeing on the court? You know, it's like – so, I mean, but that was an unusual situation where guys were so willing to kind of help each other and play together, and that's what made that so amazing. But you get to be great because you don't want anybody coming in your space.
That's it. No matter what, spot, just the NBA. That's
anywhere,
the
right?
Sporting world. I mean,
you see it in business too, right?
Sure,
like you don't.
Sure.
If you don't help the young guys and train them, then you know, then you're not building a good business. You're
right,
not building a good culture.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, it was kind of a no brainer. You bring the guy in, you let him do what he can do. I mean, it doesn't threaten me. I'm still going to do what I can do.
Right.
What's the biggest thing you take away for playing for the United States for the Dream Team?
Oh man, that was it was number one. It was just a great level of basketball, right? Like you go out and you want to be in a situation where you know you can pass it to guys. Everybody's making smart plays. It was just a lot of fun playing basketball with that group. So that was number one. But number two was you knew it was a historical moment, right? Mm. Rarely do you step into a moment you know everybody's going to remember.
Sure.
But that team, like we all knew it was very special. So just living with that group and saying, you know, our kids and their kids are going to look back and see this group as kind of a transition for basketball as a whole. That was the best part about it.
It had to be kind of cool for you, too, coming out of Naval Academy, too.
Like, you know, being with those guys, it was like being with the Beatles or something. You know, it's like everywhere
you're back
we
in
went.
Annapolis again.
Everywhere we went, you know, people are, you know, it was fantastic. It was just a tremendous experience.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you mentioned culture before, but talk a little bit about, if you don't mind, Dave, about the culture that Coach Pop has built down there in San Antonio.
Man, fantastic. And R.C. Buford's a big part of that as well. I mean, R.C. and Pop have been a team for a long time, and those guys understand, you know, they understand preparation. They understand, you know, scouting and planning. They've really done some amazing job getting the right picks in there, kind of getting rid of a lot of the foolishness and the nonsense that sometimes can surround your team. I mean, we have a lot of – last year was a little bit full of drama, but – you know, for 25 years now, we've pretty much avoided
kind of the
foolishness. So I give those guys a lot of credit. I mean, Pop is a, you know, as a coach, he's grown a lot. I mean, as a young coach, kind of figuring out how to relate to the guys and how to get guys to play. But you know. Wow, what a great track record over the last 25 years.
You know, with that being said, David, we were talking about during the course of the break a little bit. Everyone wants to know what's going on with Kawhi.
Yeah, well, good question. That's the problem. like nobody knows.
Right?
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. If you were trying to plan a succession plan. This was a dream. It was a dream for everybody, right?
Right.
You go and you know, you got one. You go from me to Tim Duncan, and then now you've got this great young player. And so it seemed to make sense. I don't know when it stopped making sense, but it seemed to make a lot of sense. But you know, I think you would think if you were a young player, who would you want to go get trained by? You got Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker. You got Tim Duncan. You've got Greg Popovich.
It's great leadership.
Where would you want to go?
Yeah.
So I mean, it seemed like a great situation, a great opportunity, and somewhere along the way, I think communication got broken down. And you know, when people don't talk, you know, people start guessing, and when you start guessing, that's when problems come in. And so I think one thing that Pop and RC are usually pretty good about is sitting down and talking to guys. You know, we don't buy the media stuff. You know, we're like, hey, look, we got a problem. Let's sit down and let's figure this thing out. Unless it blows up into something that it shouldn't be. And I think, you know, you got a young guy like Kawhi who not big on talking.
he's very, very quiet.
I've known him for a long time, like 5 or 6 years. And maybe he said 2 or 3 words to me. You know, I mean, he's not a big talking guy. But that's, you know, if you don't talk, things are going to get out of hand.
And, you know, and out of San Antonio, I mean, a lot of folks down there with the squad were talking, and he wasn't. And I, as a former athlete, I'm wondering if you're thinking maybe he felt like his toughness was questioned because of his quad. You know, maybe he should be coming back. He's clear, but he's not back. And, you know, I'm sure you've had injuries where – just because a trainer says you're ready to come back, you know your body.
No, I mean, like I said earlier, it at this level, it's all mental, right? Like if you don't handle the mental aspect of this game, you're going to fall apart in the pros. I mean, that's where you got to be toughest. And so, you know, fortunately, San Antonio's been a great situation where guys get supported mentally, and you know, Pop does a good job of taking pressure off of you. You know, Timmy Duncan did a great job of taking pressure off. You know, there was a lot of ways that you could kind of blend in and figure it out. But But everybody's wired differently, you know. Sure. Everybody's going to come, you know, just fall right in line and be like, yeah, okay, this is exactly what I want. Like,
from the outside, you look at all the positives of San Antonio. To play to your point, David, is why would a guy want to leave there? Do you think from your perspective, right, and you still live in San Antonio, do you think the relationship between Kawhi Leonard, Popovich, and R.C. Buford, do you think it's repairable?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think they have a good relationship. But the problem is when you don't talk every day, and all of a sudden, okay, I'm hearing from this person from this person, and I want to hear from you. I want to know what's going on, and we want to sit down. So I think that was part of the challenge, and I do think it's repairable. I still think that there is a good relationship there. I still think that there's a, I'm maybe a little bit on the outside looking in as more so than before, but I think between Pop and Kawhi, there's a high level of respect there both ways. When there is that respect, it's repairable.
We're talking to David Robinson here on behalf of Verizon. Tell us a little bit, big NBA draft night tonight, David. Ooh, tell us what Verizon's got cooking and how you're working with Verizon this evening.
Well, Verizon's got a great way for you if you can't be at the draft, which unfortunately I'm going to be here. But if you can't be here, you can stream it live on Verizon and, just a great opportunity for people to be involved in the action.
Best and most reliable network, so check it out. Verizon does a fantastic job. Great, certainly a fantastic network, and they'll be streaming the draft tonight. David, one more on Kawhi Leonard. I know outside looking in, do you think start of the NBA season, do you think Kawhi Leonard is a Spur?
I pray that Kawhi Leonard is a Spur. He's been such a great part of our team. I mean, and the fans love
him. I was just saying, the fan base down there,
we love him, man.
Even though he hasn't been playing, they still love him.
We understand what a value he is to our team. I mean, even our family, everybody, we're confused. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
none
of us want to lose him, and there's no way you can get the value back for a guy like Kawhi. There's just no way.
No way, yeah.
So, and what all, has been built in learning how to win and, your attitude, team attitude and all that sort of stuff. So,
listen, you got to get on the phone with Pop and say, listen, dude, what's the deal? Get the lowdown,
well,
Dave.
You know what? No, I know those guys, they're working hard. I mean, that's what
teasing,
right? But I think it's, as a fan, as a, former team guy, my dream, my hope is that they figure it out.
They patch it up.
I mean, if I keep reading what's happening in the media, I get more and more discouraged. But in reality, it's about people.
I got an extra one question. Bron, where's he going? I say Philly.
Man.
He's saying L.A.
That's a great question.
What do you think, man? I say Philly. I don't know. I still stay Philly.
Man, oh, man. What do you expect a guy from San Antonio to say?
We're
trying to build our team. So
if
he stays in the East, it doesn't bother me. But if he comes out West, there's only one place I'd rather see him if he comes out West.
Silver and black.
That's exactly right. David, you were on the greatest team ever, greatest collection of talent ever, right?
Well, thanks. Yeah.
LeBron or Michael?
Ooh.
Who would you rather have as your teammate?
Yeah, you know what? That is a great question. Michael was a singular, unique beast in and of himself. Being around that guy, everything about him was about winning, and he had a knack for rising to the occasion at the crunch time. And now I'm seeing that from LeBron. I mean, the stuff he's doing is, come on. I mean,
it's insane.
The last couple
clutch,
of the
clutch,
finals
clutch.
Is just for a guy to take on that type of pressure. And to perform at the level he's performed is
so inspiring.
It's incredible. I mean, you'd obviously like to see that team win more. I mean, that then it would kind of all come together in a way, like Michael it did. But at the same time, he's making a good. I would have said Michael all day long a few years ago, he's making a heck of an argument for himself now. He's done it for a long time.
David, final one for me, and that is 99. Did you have to beat the Knicks? I understand it was your first NBA title. I mean, you're on the Dream Team. You're a legendary player, Hall of Famer. Did you have to take care of business against the Knicks as quickly as you did?
You guys
strike short in season. Couldn't you provide a little bit of hope to the Knicks in that series, David?
Those championships come few and far between. I'm telling you. You got to win every one you can. That's all I can say.
I mean, you took care of business. There was no hope, David. There was no hope.
I wasn't even playing, and I'm still stinging about that loss when Ray Allen hit that jump shot from the court. I'm still mad about that, so I'm just saying. They're hard to win.
They are. It broke my heart, that series. David Robinson, legendary NBA player, and working with Verizon. Check out the NBA draft tonight. David is here on behalf of the most reliable network, Verizon, and they're helping customers keep up with the action by allowing them to stream the draft live on their mobile devices, no matter where you are. NBA draft this evening. Hey, David, certainly our pleasure. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
You got it. David Robinson, legendary NBA player. Thanks for a couple minutes as we roll right along here. Taz and the Moose with you on this Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You can hear CBS Sports Radio on satellite radio. Check us out on our new channel, SiriusXM 206.
All right, rolling right along here on this Thursday morning. We got leftovers coming up later on this hour.
Well, looks like a little messy over there in AB's area.
David Robinson spilled a little coffee, and Andrew was upset.
Admiral
spilled some coffee.
AB was talking trash, not to David's face. You have to stand on a ladder. Taking a picture with that guy?
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, I fell short. I'm little.
I mean, who does he think he is? A top 50 NBA player of all time?
Right. Legend.
Spilling coffee on our
desk. But then Andrew, like passive-aggressive, says, how dare you spill coffee in the Tiki and Tierney studio?
You said that to him?
No, he said that to us.
Yeah.
Oh, you are an ass.
Yeah.
I get so mad.
Taz, you were too busy reading your Twitter.
People put me over. What are we going to do? That's what happened.
They're firing out questions for David Robinson.
I didn't call that for that thing.
I've given Pete creative control.
Okay, Alex.
AB, good morning.
I'm trying to watch Denmark and Australia. Be quiet.
1-0. We're in the 28th minute. Take it away, Andrew.
That from my update. Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I know. This is the quick update.
Kawhi Leonard reportedly made his trade request face-to-face with Greg Popovich when they met Tuesday night in San Diego. The Cavaliers reportedly not shopping Kevin Love ahead of tonight's draft. Going a step farther, Cleveland apparently wants to keep Love, whether LeBron stays or not. And the Grizzlies said to be shopping the fourth pick. They'd like to move back a few lottery spots tonight and get someone to take Chandler Parsons off their hands. Parsons has played just 70 games over his first two seasons in Memphis because of knee issues. He has 2 years and $47 million left on his contract.
He stinks.
As Mark just spoiled it, Denmark taking the early lead on Australia to start day 8 at the World Cup in Russia. That goal in the 7th minute. It is still 1-0 now in the 29th minute. France and Peru follow at 11 Eastern, then Argentina and Croatia at 2. Now, you guys are certainly familiar with the soccer tradition of exchanging jerseys after a game.
Yeah.
A Moroccan player has accused American referee Mark Geiger of asking for Ronaldo's jersey during yesterday's match. Now, that's obviously a no-no from a referee.
No.
FIFA issued a statement this morning to say Geiger strongly denies the allegations, and FIFA, quote, unequivocally condemns them.
Wow.
But we'll see what happens.
Unequivocally
condemned.
Wow, FIFA.
And reminds us that Geiger's been nothing but a professional throughout his career as a referee.
So are they accusing the ref of stealing stuff?
No, not stealing. Of asking Ronaldo if they can have your jersey after the game.
That's the definition of being a mock. Mm-hmm. That's a mock-out moment. Hey, can I have your jersey? That's like, if Moose, when David Roberts here, you ask him for like
his spilt coffee, which he left for
can
us.
Can I
without
have
even
a
asking.
Coffee cup? That's a mock.
You are
out,
a mock.
That's a mock out moment. You don't do that,
right?
You know that, Moose. I mean, so you just don't do that. You don't ask Ronaldo for his jerseys.
I know I didn't do it.
I'm saying in like it's not you
hypothetically.
Per se. It's like people in general. You, not you personally.
Unless you really wanted Ronaldo's jersey. No?
Well, then you're a mock. You can't do that. You got to take the high road. You know how many autographs I've gotten in my life? None. Zero. I've asked nobody in my life for an autograph, and I never will.
Okay, so you don't believe.
I don't believe in
autographs.
I believe in myself. That's why.
Okay? No one says you can't believe in yourself.
I don't ask for autographs. I don't believe in autographs. Nothing.
What?
Yeah.
What does that have anything to do with?
I have no idea.
Okay. Because I'm just trying to follow the line of logic here.
It's mock out moments. Don't you see what's going on?
If you are a fan of somebody and a legendary and you get an autograph, say Michael Jordan basketball, that's a bad thing?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Stop. My opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion.
I'm entitled to mine.
If
you're
going to
sacrifice your career, conceivably speaking, for a Christian, for a Ronaldo jersey, yes, I would say that is a quote unquote mark. Getting an autograph of a basketball, I would say no, it's not.
I like the way you say mark. No, you can't. I don't believe in that. I told you this. I met Michael Jordan. No,
right.
I shook his hand and go, nice to meet you, sir. Big fan of your career.
Well, I mean,
that's
say something. I've asked so many people for autographs. I've yet to ask you.
You know what? If you ask me, I would say, give me $10. I'll give it to you. I will charge you because you have a douchey attitude.
I have no interest.
I will not give you an autograph.
I'd pass.
Ever.
I'd pass.
And it's okay. I know you want to ask me. We're friends. We're coworkers. And that's actually, we're not even friends. We're coworkers.
I pass.
I wouldn't even give you my autograph. If you gave me, $20, I might give it to you.
No, I'd pass.
Nothing you get for me.
I'm giving you any. $20.
Dude, I get paid.
Went
on my
eBay, it was $5.
You understand? Well, you could do that. I make no royalty on that. So I'd rather you not do that. If you go to WWE site, you buy something, I might get a little royalty.
No.
So stay off the eBay, okay?
No. Head right over there.
I'll take two. Thank you.
No.
Dude, you know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If this company ever tries to get you and I to do an autograph session somewhere, like I've done that a lot as a wrestler.
Taz, you don't want to leave your home.
I know.
I recommended we should go on the road, go do some things, meet and greet with the fans, this and that, go see Nando, Speakerphone Jones, the Kingsman.
The whole crew.
Right, Lean Mean.
That a Wee Over
Nation.
Right. Convention?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Have a little convention. Right.
Wee Over Nation.
Like, I have no interest in meeting them.
I've met a couple of those people at different wrestling events. I do one a year.
Right.
One autograph signing a year at a convention.
I turned them down. I got you. This was nothing to do with an autograph session. I was talking about like a hangout. Go out, broadcast,
hangout.
Do a show. Yeah, meet the fans.
You know
start
what
to build
out
up.
With? My family. Well, that's who I hang out with.
Well, okay? I mean, you mentioned, you hang around by your pool smoking a cigar.
I do that a lot. You know Taz, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, so I that's what you tell Mikey B, Pete, myself every morning.
Not every morning, but I do that. I might tell you a lot. Yeah, okay.
Right.
You have to
I
make
understand
fun
that.
Of me. That's not nice.
I'm not making fun of you.
But basically, you come home.
You act like it's like you come home. It's like a. It's like an episode of. It's like the movie Goodfellas. Like you walk in and there's about 8 or 9 guys waiting for you to hang out and to BS and talk about the day and see exactly what's going on around in the town. I mean, that's not the picture, but that's not true.
You understand how big the yard is and what's going on,
Taz?
Back there?
I understand the water, the body of water. I get it. You've got a yard the size of a football field.
It's gigantic,
fantastic, great.
I'm blowing cigars, smoke all over the place.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I suggest about going out, having a broadcast outside, doing something, maybe going to a bar area. This that
not a no, shot.
No interest.
Shot. You come to Long Island, I'll do a show on Long Island somewhere.
Mulcahy's.
I'll do more cases.
No, that's already taken.
Talk to
Mike's.
Your buddy Francesa. Talk Mike's to spot. Mike and tell him let us stay at the slot there.
You wouldn't do it for more cases.
I'll do it for more cases.
You would never.
In Wantagh, right?
Yeah, you would
that's
never.
New York, by the
you
way,
would
folks.
Never do that.
Dude, if they pay me extra, I'll do it.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. That's not happening.
Well, then I don't do it.
Well, that's what
I
mean.
They get me here every day. Otherwise, I got to go. You want me outside of here?
Yes.
Pay up!
Right.
That's my gimmick.
Right.
Done. And the bosses all hear me. They listen to this show.
Right.
They listen to this show like this, huh? Yeah. What did he say? Right. They got their ear to the frickin' speaker. Right. I know you're all listening, you bosses.
Or they listen to when's
Eric
Moose speaking?
All, Moose. When's ding. Moose speaking? No, when's Moose stop speaking?
Give me a ding.
When does Moose stop speaking?
Can Taz stop interrupting him for 5 seconds?
How did we get here, by the way?
I got a new bottle. Yeah. What?
Oh, the marking. Well, now the we have to get into ref.
That's a tremendous water bottle, Taz. Take it away, AB.
Hey, thanks, Moose. So where were we? Oh, yes, the Colorado Rockies.
By the way, there's nothing special about the water bottle. It's just a plastic water bottle.
It's gunmetal. Gunmetal, sir. You ain't finding gunmetal water bottles anywhere. Mm-mm. That's big bucks, kid.
You got, just head to Dick's Sporting Goods.
No, I don't
there,
do anything.
It's $9.99.
I don't go to Dick's.
10% off. Great company.
Dick's a great brand. I don't go there. I go somewhere else.
Herman's?
No, that's been gone about 25 years. Okay. I do remember that. It's funny you said
Herman's?
That. Herman's Sporting Goods has been gone for about 25 years.
I got you.
That's
folks,
no longer a great brand. That's
I'll actually tweet out a photo of the water bottle. You'll be like,
no, I get. I do a lot of my, I don't want to get into my business.
Amazon.com.
I got people.
Just hop online.
I have someone that shops for me.
Give me a ding.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a ding. Thank you.
You get a personal water bottle shopper?
Oh, I have someone
stop.
That.
AB, stop. I move on. Denmark and Australia. No, we're in the 36 minute.
Yeah.
We're nothing Denmark.
Things happened last night in baseball. CBSSports.com has all of those things for you.
AB, shame on you for trying to play along. Shame on
you. I am playing
you.
Along.
Who? I'm talking to AB, not you.
I understand. You. AB sent out a tweet.
I've never asked AB to send a tweet out about anything.
Pete can. This was the anniversary of my match, the Garden. You sent out a picture.
And by the way, I had Mikey B. He threw out a little stalk. He's just like you now. He said something that him and Evan Roberts are doing a podcast about the freaking Nets.
That's great. Good for that.
And I said, you're welcome. He said, what do you mean? I go, I gave you the freaking idea. He goes, why do you got to make this about you? I said, you sound like this guy.
Well, but
I pointed to your area.
What I was trying to say was we did a podcast, and then you recommended I do one with Evan, but we already had done one previously,
so
it already had been established.
And you know how many people know you did one about before I mentioned it on our show? About 5.
That's fair. Right. I don't.
Well,
for me,
we mentioned on our show.
I don't really care how many people listen. I just enjoy doing it.
Yeah, there you go.
Did anyone ask you?
What do you mean?
Exactly.
So, thanks very much.
We got a penalty kick here, Australia. Handball in the penalty zone.
Yara. Upon review as well. They went to video review.
Mike, quickly. Thanks for sharing along, Mike. Thanks, buddy.
No, good job with your podcast. I listened.
You're welcome. You didn't listen.
Thanks, Uncle Taz.
I did listen.
Did you retweet the tweet?
I did not, no.
Ah, way to support your friend Mikey B, your buddy.
I didn't even see the tweet.
And your other buddy, Evan Roberts.
I didn't see the tweet.
But you know why you didn't see it? Because you don't look at Twitter.
Not like you do. I'm not on there all day.
Well, one day when you get a national radio show, oh, wait, you have one.
I do have
and
one.
And then you can tweet about it.
I also have 3 boys at home that are basically
17 jobs.
I have 3 boys at home.
I'm home for 90 minutes in the afternoon.
That's not true.
That's a lot to do in that window.
AB.
And it's mayhem when he's home. It's like
AB,
a zoo.
It is like a zoo at home. I've made it perfectly clear. That is true.
I've heard it.
Australia
heard it
lining
phone.
Up for the penalty kick here.
Beard.
Look at that beard.
Man,
that's a nice beard.
Jones, he's got some beard.
Let's see. Does he score or no? I say he does.
Oh, that's...
Left side.
That's,
left side.
Hockley-clock.
Left side.
That's,
here we go.
That's Jockey Hockley-clock.
Blow the whistle. Here we go.
Three,
here we go.
2-1. He's
15, line it up.
He's chopping up. Chopping
left side.
Score!
Oh.
Goal! La, 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 la.
He doesn't actually do that.
He's doing it right now.
That was Dennis Jones. He did that.
God rest his soul.
He's alive. Right. Dennis Jones is alive.
I love bearded men.
We're
not sure.
Cantor.
I hope he is.
Cantor doesn't exactly do that. That was Dennis Jones.
La, 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 la. There you go. That's it. AB, why are you here?
The Socceroos, as you just heard.
He went right side. 1-1, Denmark and Australia.
Yeah.
Goal!
Now 39th minute.
39th minute.
Shot by Jekyll.
The Rockies beat the Mets last night 10-8.
They did.
Baltimore 3-0 defeated Washington. Nice. And all you need to know from the American League is the Houston Astros are the first team to 50 wins, downing the Rays last night 5-1. And the NHL handed out its yearly awards last night in Vegas. Devils winger Taylor Hall won the Hart Trophy as MVP. Tampa Bay's Victor Hedman voted best defenseman, and Vegas's Gerard Gallant the coach of the year.
Say very that, nice.
Gerard Gallant.
Gallant.
Gallant. Gerard Gallant. See you guys tomorrow.
CAB. We've got some leftovers
in the peanut gallery.
Coming away.
He's going to run away with his friends now, Moose. See him? He can't wait to get in that newsroom. Look at him.
Well, yeah, he's going to go hang out.
Yeah.
My best friend spilled coffee at my desk, so we're not friends anymore.
David Robinson.
No, Mike Biseglia.
Crush you like a grape, David Robinson. Crack you right in your head, AB. That's what he'll do to us. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Can I get a punching sound, Pete?
He'll crush you in the head, AB. Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah, that's it. Good job, Pete.
Get out of here. Go to your friends.
Yeah, go to your friends. Get out of here. Get the hell out of here, AB.
Come back. We've got some leftovers for you.
Yeah. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Let's get to some leftovers, shall we?
It's time now to dig into some leftovers with Taz and the Moose. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, what do we got?
Yeah.
Cleveland Cavaliers superstar Larry Nance Jr. got married, and he was wearing Yeezys and Lululemon pants.
Oh!
What do you think of that look for a wedding?
That's what the kids today do, my friend Mike. For a wedding, I wore spats and a tuxedo with a ruffled shirt and a bow tie. I thought it was a necktie. I think it was a bow tie. But, Yeezys and Lululemon, both great. Yeezys are Adidas, right? Great brand. I think Yeezys are made from Adidas. I think they are.
I think you're right.
I think I'm right. And Lululemon's fancy, excuse me, Moose, I'm talking. I'm in the middle of a commentary, and you got a hairball. I don't know what's going on. Like Leon, but different. So Lululemon's a great brand. Fancy clothes, tight-fitting, form-fitting clothing. Are you not familiar with the Lululemon?
Yes.
You really are?
Yeah, Lululemon, yeah.
Yeah, that's fancy. My kid wears that stuff. He's got the physique for it, though. You got to have the right physique for that.
Yeah, Lululemon's good stuff.
Can't be built like great a garbage yoga can. Pants. You can't be built like a freaking garbage can to wear Lululemon. You got to be built like a friggin' aesthetic animal, you know, like a beast mode athlete, like David Robinson was just here. He can't wear Lululemon. I mean, he's too tall. He's over 6 foot, so he can't.
Right? Yeah, he's 7 feet.
Yeah.
Lululemon, great brand. I mean, come on, it's dopey. You wear Lululemon pants and Yeezys sneakers.
Wait a minute. Why is that dopey?
It is. It's just from my perspective, it's dopey.
Wow.
You're gonna get married once. That's gonna be the photo you're gonna go to. That's up on the wall. You're gonna look at. You're dressed basically like you're going to the gym to get married.
Well, come on. When Nance Sr. got married, he wasn't wearing no Lululemon. I'll tell you that. He wasn't wearing Yeezys either.
Right.
He was probably wearing some patent leather shoes.
Yeah.
You know, some slacks. Bell bottom slacks.
Nance has got to worry about his game. He's got enough there to keep him busy.
All right, it's the offseason. He's trying to have fun. The kid got married. Not next.
Right. Dress accordingly.
Speaking of weddings, there was a bouquet typically made of flowers. This one made of pizza. Could you pick a bouquet to be made of anything better than that?
Well, what is it? Like a bunch of mozzarella hanging off the bouquet? Like, what? I don't understand. What is it? Like, what are we doing here?
Essentially, yes.
And for those people that are in, like, the Midwest.
Tweet out a picture there, Mikey B.
That's mozzarella for you people. That's called mozzarella, as you people would
mozzarella.
Call it.
Mozzarella.
Yeah, that's how people in Connecticut call it. Mozzarella. It's mozzarella.
Not everyone's Italian.
All right. So, yeah, the pizza bouquet.
Right.
No, but even people from Italy, from Italy is Italian descent that live maybe in the West Coast. Maybe the people over there in the West Coast, they don't have the proper dialect or the inflection, even though if they're Italiano, it doesn't matter. You get a guy from Portland, Oregon Italian.
What I find amazing.
He can't say mozzarella.
Probably not, unless you teach him how to do it. What I find amazing is, right? Wow. Is you get bothered when people mispronounce wrestlers' names and Italian food names.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you mispronounce every other name. But as long as, you know, if you happen to call The Rock the Rook or Uber Taker, that bothers you, you know. And if you say mozzarella instead, it's a
Mozzarella.
You know, say prosciutto.
Right.
Prosciutto.
Oh, you got it.
Right. Yeah. Yes, I'm married to an Italian.
Prosciutto.
That's how my grandfather's
Reggiano.
Parmigiano. Hey.
Gabagool.
That's like
Gabagool.
You people. Super sad. Belly and Aaron Aflalo.
Right. Right. Aaron Aflalo. Right. But then, if a flower's name was mozzarella, and someone said "blalo blalo,"
that's you'd like, be like super soft.
No, that's so disrespectful.
Some people don't
give me a ding. Give me a ding.
That was funny.
Pay attention to me. Give me a ding.
Hey, that's listen, so, that's funny. You're a funny guy. Dog. You're a funny guy.
Michael Coe. It's Cole. It's Cole, you idiot.
Michael Coe.
No, you're right. It's mozzarella.
It is.
And, it's Parmesan. Reggiano.
Parmesan. Oh, supersada. That's stuff for you people out there. That's it, that Italian salami.
Right. Take a cured meat.
With the fat balls in it. That's what supersada is.
Yes, right.
Sausage. Like it's, a split fuck. What, Mike? What? You're going to talk. What?
It's an Italian sausage.
Mike, a sausage. Mike, what?
I have nothing planned.
I see you hitting the button, and you have this face on. I know you want to talk. You had a question or a statement.
No, I'm just getting ready for the transition.
Next!
I'll take some Cavatiles.
Oh. Wait, that's well said. Cavatiles. Now, people that live like...
Cavatelli.
If you live in like, yeah, right, exactly.
I'll take Cavatiles. Los Angeles.
Can I have some Cavatelli?
Give me a Cavatiel and
can
a meat sauce.
Can I have
sauce.
A little bit of Monacorti?
I want some prosciutto and it's, some mozzarella and a fresh Parmigiano Reggiano. What kind of olive oil do you have there? Do you have any dipping bread?
Tony Romo. He's from... he's Italian. And I guarantee you, he'll call, you know... Manicotti. It's Manicotti.
It's Manicotti, you idiot.
That's right. It's pasta with ricotta.
Aren't you Italian?
Ricotta. With ricotta in it.
Ricotta. It's ricotta.
Ricotta. Right, next. Come on. Let's go. Next.
My last
next.
Name's actually pronounced Bisceglia.
I don't care. Next.
It's Bisceglia. It's Bisceglia, you fool.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Moose is doing an Italian accent like he's a freaking vampire.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on.
You're like
Count Dracula over here.
You idiots. Pronounce it properly. Show some respect.
All of a sudden, you're from Transylvania.
Show some respect.
Moose, what happened? Mike.
What's your blood?
Moose is from Transylvania.
I need some Gavadils.
Gavatelli?
And mozzarella.
Hi, I'm
Parmigiano Reggiano.
I don't mean to insult the whole nation, but people need to learn how to speak about your Italian foods the right way.
Right.
Serious.
That's a prime importance on this Thursday.
An Americanized Italian thing?
What?
Yeah.
Like in Italy, do they really say that? I think it's an Americanized Italian
thing.
Listen,
are you Italian?
A quarter.
Okay, then you're a quarter wrong. Okay, right. Next.
Yeah.
No, I'm done.
Yeah, that's it.
There's no more time.
Job, Michael.
We did a cured meat segment.
Right. Cured meat.
Cured meat.
It's timeless.
Right, no doubt.
Cured
yes.
meat is timeless.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm sure this will come up again.
It has to. You know, I like, American, I like olive loaf. Bologna with olives in it. That's not bad. Pimentos. I'm a big pimento guy.
That's disgusting.
I love pimentos. I do.
That's gross.
I could eat pimentos straight out of a bottle.
That's
olive oil.
Nice. I'm sure
and
you do.
And some prosciutto.
Looking into your physique, I'm sure you do.
Yeah. I'm actually on a higher protein diet now than I was last week. Changed my diet around,
God bless
friend.
Your toilets. Mikey B, great job. Pete the Body, fantastic.
Yeah.
AB with the updates. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.